Yes, Lord, this is a great song that was penned for our joy and really for your glorification. A wonderful confession that it is indeed well with my soul, even when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us even through this message and song of this assurance that though trials may come, Christ has regarded our helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. We want to pause even right now, and we want to thank you for your salvation for sinners like us. And we want to thank you, our God and Heavenly Father, that you are on the throne, that you are in control, that you're never out of control. In every circumstance of our lives, you are God. And thus we can say this morning with assurance, it is well, with my soul. To you be all the glory, all the honor. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be returning to our study of the book of Romans after we took a bit of a break last Sunday, on Thanksgiving Sunday. And a couple of weeks ago we had arrived in Romans chapter 9. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 14, we came up to this question that I've been thinking a fair bit about in these days. It's an important question. The more I keep thinking about this question, the more I'm discovering how vital this question is and how we answer it. You know, it's one of those questions in Scripture that we can easily read over, read past, and maybe we answer it with a pious nod, and then we move on to other things. But I think it is the kind of question that is worth sitting with for a while, because a lot hinges on this question, very much so. Here's the question, verse 14 of Romans chapter 9. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? Is there injustice on God's part?" In other words, is God unjust? Is God unjust? What would you say? Is God unjust? I think many of us would probably not give our nods. We'd shake our heads and say, no, he's not unjust, right? Now, remember the context of this question here in the chapter. In the verse before, verse 14 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul quotes Malachi chapter 1, 2 and 3, and he says there, as it is written, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." Now, we already discovered that the word hate is a strong word, but it is here not to be confused with the way in which we tend to use the word today. It's not a hating in the sense of being disgusted or this idea of abhorrence towards someone. This word is perhaps best understood in terms of God passing over one in favor of another. God passing over one in favor of another. "Jacob I loved, but Esau I did not love in the same manner. I hated." And okay, I know that still doesn't sound quite just though, does it? Doesn't sound fair. In the immediate verse following the question of verse 14, is there injustice on God's part? Verse 15 says this, "For God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." You know, one of the questions that we may wrestle with is, why doesn't God have mercy on all? Why doesn't God have mercy on all? Why does it say, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion? Is God unjust? Is God unjust? Have you ever thought that God was unjust toward you? Has that ever crossed your mind? Have you ever come across something in your own life? Maybe it is even something as simple as you're reading a story in the Old Testament and it troubled you because God was so severe in whatever story this may have been. And you thought to yourself, this is not unjust. This is not just. Or maybe you experienced a great loss in your life. You prayed, you believed, but God didn't answer. Was God unjust? Is it not odd, does it not strike you as odd, that some of God's children suffer a great deal, while others seem to lead lives immune from even the smallest of inconveniences? Sometimes I wonder why I have suffered so little in my own life, while others have suffered so much. There seems to be this disparity. There seems to be no rhyme or reason to explain the disproportionate ways in which our experiences differ one from another. Is God unjust? Or you read the news, read about the horrors of genocide, of children who are starving, or little girls who are sold into slavery, innocent people being tortured, being imprisoned, the poor are exploited, and at the same time we hear of evil men who gain in power and wealth and they prosper. And God, though He is all-powerful, does nothing to stop all this injustice. You know, if you've ever struggled with this question, is God unjust? You're not alone. You're not alone. The Bible provides us with many examples of those who stood before God with big questions, questions that may be very similar to your questions, to our questions. Already Abraham raises the issue of God's justice in regards to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18. Moses asked God many questions. And what may still seem unjust in our thinking is that God disallowed Moses from entering the promised land after all the faithful service that Moses had rendered to God and rendered to God's people. In Deuteronomy 3:23, we see Moses pleading with God to allow him to enter the land, but God denies his wish. Is God unjust? Naomi, in her grief of losing her husband and two sons, the first chapter of Ruth, she questions God, does she not? Why he treats her? Why would he treat her like an enemy? She says there in 1:13, the Lord has gone out against me. Elijah, in great despair, he cannot understand how God can allow a wicked person like Jezebel to threaten his life after he had served the Lord so faithfully. 1 Kings chapter 19. And then we all know the story of Job, or most of us perhaps do. And here we have a book that is one big long question about the justice of God. And even though Job seems to accept the answer God gave him in the end, I am not so sure. I am not so sure that God ever fully answered the question to our satisfaction. Do you feel that when you read the book of Job? Jonah, Jonah, too, he had great trouble with God's sense of justice. As he deemed the people of Nineveh undeserving recipients of God's mercy, he could not understand why God didn't treat them as their sins deserved. And then we have Jeremiah and other prophets. We have, of course, Habakkuk, who questioned God's justice in using the wicked Chaldeans to punish his own people. Yes, Habakkuk knew that God's people had strayed from following God's commands, but still they were not as bad as were the Chaldeans, and so Habakkuk had much trouble with God's action. And then, of course, there are all those heavy-hearted questions raised in the Psalms. Questions like, why, Lord? How long, Lord? When, Lord? Where is your God? Psalm 42. Psalm 73 begins by affirming faith in God. It starts out saying, truly God is good. But then the writer, Asaph, he goes on to express his difficulty in reconciling God's goodness in light of the prosperity of the wicked, who are always at ease, verse 12, and increase in riches, while I in vain have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. All these, and there are certainly many more examples, these examples draw out this reality of our own agonizing deficit of understanding God and His ways. We don't understand, do we? The Bible shows that our understanding of God and His ways is insufficient. We don't understand, while at the same time, we are called to cling to God by faith. Is God unjust? Is God unjust? What would you say? Anyone? Okay. Let me ask you this question. Do we always perceive God to be just? Do we always perceive God to be just? Probably not, right? Probably not. We don't always perceive God to be just. You see, by faith we affirm that God indeed is just. By human logic, we cannot always see that God is just. And I want to provoke you this morning to consider this. If we are going to know God, if you and I are truly going to know God, we're going to have to know Him by faith, by believing and by trusting in His Word. Our logic, our human reasoning is not without value. Let me say that clearly. It's not without value, but it will not be sufficient in our pursuit of knowing God. If we are going to know God, we're going to have to know Him by faith. For the just shall, what? They shall live, they shall walk by faith. Amen. Amen. So is God unjust? Verse 13. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? And Paul says, by no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And what we learn in these brief verses here is that God maintains His perfect justice while He reserves the right to choose on whom He has mercy. And His choices are not dependent on human will or human effort. Verse 16, so then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. And the context here really is the story of Moses, where Moses, as you may remember, he intercedes on Mount Sinai for the people after they had made that crazy golden calf. And God says in that context, He says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Which means that, God had mercy on the Israelites and he did not destroy them because of their idolatry, not because